man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes may in him have eternal life. So he's talking here. Here's physical life. Here's eternal life. Here's things you can see. Here's things you can't see. And he was really with his questions. And I love Jesus. I would say this as an educator. I would say he had a marvelous questioning technique because he could teach so much in a question.
He could.
And you know, when he met the Pharisees, he threw them in an absolute tailspin. He would ask them a question, and while they were over there, you know, jerking around in their heads, mm-hmm. you know, he was slaying them with his great ability to question them. Mm-hmm. And he was leaving them without defense.
Speechless. That's why. And they didn't like to be caught like that. Well, we see here Jesus is talking in the Spirit, as you said, Darren. And when we turn to John 4, we see that as he meets this Samaritan woman at the well, they're passing through and going home, and he meets a woman at the well and asks her for a drink. And here she is. She's kind of in the physical, and she's saying, well, you don't have anything that I can get. You don't have a cup or anything that I can pour the water in. Jesus is talking in the Spirit here. He's talking spiritual concepts to this woman. And we learn a great lesson about Holy Spirit here. We learn that God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in Spirit. And that's a great lesson for us who believe in Jesus Christ to learn. We can no longer go on temporal feelings, on physical feelings. We have got to delve into the Spirit.
Yeah, but before you go on and explain that, we missed this marvelous verse called John 3:16. We cannot go over that, Barbara. I see you smiling at me, but here's what it says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Here we're talking again about, you know, eternal life. What is eternal life? Now, that's a great spiritual concept they hadn't had before. He's introducing that here. You can die physically, but here he's saying you can have eternal life. And now he's talking about this water. I just had to go back and do that. Go ahead and talk about the well.
And at this well, Jesus is explaining to this woman, I hope you're not confused by our changing chapters.
We are, but they're not.
Chapter 3, and we're now in chapter 4 of John. And he's explaining to this woman her own life story. Now, some of you, when Holy Spirit begins to unravel your life, you're going to be shocked at the things that come out about your life. And you're going to say, nobody has ever known that. Nobody's ever told me that. I thought that was a secret. And he's going to convict your heart of things that you've done. And as he convicts your heart of things you've done, you need to confess, you need to repent, you need to clean up your life and clear up things in your past. He doesn't want you continuing on with garbage. And that's what he was saying to this woman. I want to give you new life. And go and tell your husbands. And she, of course, you probably know this story. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have well spoken, because you have had five husbands, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. She was caught off guard, and she was absolutely shocked that this man knew her life story. It's like a man you met in Seattle. He knew your life. I mean, your life was an open book to him, and you had never met him before. He only spent a couple of minutes with you, and he told you things that were going to happen in the Spirit. Darren, that's profound.
Yeah, but wait a minute. That wasn't a man.
That's true.
That was an angel.
An angel, absolutely.
You know, I was in an outdoor cafe, and I was there having a cup of coffee, and there was only one seat left. And I nodded to this man, and he came over. And he was a very handsome man. And I, you know, he looked to be, if I would have said, well, you know, how old are you? He'd have probably said, you know, in the natural law, I'm 54, 55 years old. I mean, that was about where he was. You know, he started reading my mail, Barbara. I've shared that story with you. Mm-hmm. And he started telling me deep things in my heart. And mm-hmm. I'm from Denver.
No human being really knew.
No human being That's knew. Right. But he knew. And I tried to put him off. I said, well, you know, I looked away and I was thinking, you know, how can I get rid of this guy? He's making me so uncomfortable. And I turned around and he was gone. Now, God had sent this angel to minister to me because he was digging around in my stuff. And then he gave me instruction.
And how do you think this angel knew about you? Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
Had instructed him.
Holy Spirit sent him. Holy Spirit sent him. And I'll tell you, I have revisited that scene and looked around. But, you know, I could see everything on that patio of that restaurant. There were probably 30, 40 people out there having coffee. It was kind of a cappuccino place. And I looked around that there was absolutely no way that a person could escape that scene mm-hmm. without being seen walking away or going to another table or going back for more coffee or whatever. And I realized I just had a visitation sent from God to mm-hmm. minister to me during a time of heaviness in my heart.
That's right.
And God was speaking to me. I mean, you talk about, and yet I'd seen many angels before that, but it was then I realized this was a real natural circumstance in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. Not a natural thing, a spiritual thing.
So you know that Holy Spirit, that's one of his attributes, that's one of his characteristics, is to comfort, to confirm spiritual things to us, to speak the truth to us, to bring truth to the surface for us so that we can discern and make better quality decisions in our lives instead of just jerking back and forth and wavering and being double-minded. Holy Spirit wants to get to the root, and he wants us to get into truth about our situations.
One of the things I think Holy Spirit's about is to teach us not to freak out or not to go on tilt when mm-hmm. something happens that we can't explain mm-hmm. with reason.
That's right.
And the scriptures, as God begins to break this out, and I love where the Bible kind of shifts gears in Romans chapter 8, we go into what's called the Pauline revelation. Mm-hmm. But Paul said, I've gotten so many things by direct revelation. He said, some of them I can't even explain to you. Mm-hmm. And even Jesus at the end of his ministry, he said, well, I've told you all that you guys can take right now, but the Holy Spirit will come and lead you into all truth.
That's right.
And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Without Holy Spirit, you're only going to get partial knowledge.
That's right. Here in John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus is saying to this woman, an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For now, there are going to be worshipers that aren't true worshipers. They're just along for the ride. They may be born again, but they don't want to go into the deeper things of the Spirit. But the true worshipers, these people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. And here is a profound statement about who God is. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must. It's not a maybe situation, Darren. It's must worship in spirit and truth. This is a great principle to know.
Well, let's jump back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that says this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And in verse 32 of John chapter 4, Jesus is saying, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And then he goes on to say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. He is talking here in spiritual principles.
That's right.
And you know, if we're going to worship and communicate with God, we have to do that in spirit and in truth. I believe you need a spiritual language to really see that happen in your life.
Yes.
I don't believe you can have that outside of that.
Yes, that's right. And we're going to get into that in this next hour. Now, another thing that goes on with God being spirit is in John 6:63. And we cannot even begin to scratch the surface about Holy Spirit, but we want to give you some key verses here about Holy Spirit. And in John 6:63 and 64, it is the Spirit, and that's a capital S, who gives life. He is the one who gives you life. The flesh profits nothing. Do you hear that, Darren? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And then he goes on to say, some of you do not believe. And many left Jesus at this point in John 63. They left his teaching because it was just too much for them to swallow.
You know, sometimes I think he's saying to us, you know, your fleshly prayers and your programs profit nothing. Mm-hmm. What you do in the spirit will last.
That's right.
I believe that's where the eternal consequences come, is the things that we do in the spirit. And sometimes I've said, as I've been around all kinds of church programs, I mean, music programs and Bible school programs, and I was raised in a church. My dad was a pastor. I went to Christian colleges. I've seen programs that would just beat all. The only thing they didn't do is change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had all the kids up there doing things. We had the adults doing things. We had these, I mean, just overwhelming Christmas programs and Easter programs and whatever, cantatas. And sometimes we get through that. We were so tired, and we look back and said, why did we do this?
That's right.
Was there anything spiritual accomplished here? And we're challenging you always in this ministry to say, what you're doing, is this from God or is this from the flesh? And we need to get away from the traditions of men. And that's what Jesus spent a lot of his ministry doing, was in a way attacking those things that meant nothing. They were like you say, sometimes they were lodibar.
That's right.
What does lodibar mean, Barbara?
Good for nothing. They were good for nothing.
That's out of the Old Testament, isn't it?
Yes.